Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Alec Baldwin gets kicked off a plane, and we've got the rest of the story.
Coming up at 2:15, Mark spends a week in Las Vegas at a convention, and folks, we're going to be surprised at his review.
At 2:35, Ed Perkins has good news for overseas travelers.
Finally, at 2:45, we take you to Ashland, Oregon to give you the scoop on the annual Chocolate Festival.
All that today on this holiday edition of the Travel Guys.
Road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to a holiday edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano, and actually on the phone line with me today, Mark Hoffman. Mark is actually going to do this segment and the next one from an undisclosed location, and you will find out when we get past the 15 break at about 16 past the hour as to why he's chose to broadcast today from an undisclosed location. Welcome, Mark, to the program.
Welcome, sir. How are you in Sacramento on this fine Sunday?
It's been a fabulously super, super cold week. I'm hoping that where you are, the weather has been a little warmer.
Not really. I had most of the week in Las Vegas, as you mentioned, and it has been extremely cold in Las Vegas, below 40 degrees most nights. And, you know, folks who come from the East Coast to a convention in Las Vegas, for some reason, they don't think it gets cold in the desert. And
I've been in Vegas when it snowed once.
You've got a lot of folks walking around here who are not going outdoors a whole lot, but we'll get to that a little bit later. I've got a few things to say.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And right now, let's look forward to finding out what's new in the news. And there's been a lot of crazy stuff going on this week. So we'll fire up the Mark Hoffman trio here in the background and jump right into today's Travel Guys news update. Mark, what do you have for us?
Well, Thomas, as I think everybody on the planet knows by now, Alec Baldwin had a little fit in an airline, Air American Airlines plane last week, and got kicked off the plane Tuesday night. But there's more to the story than that. It appears as though the reason Mr. Baldwin wouldn't turn off his cell phone was because he was playing a video game on the cell phone. Now, Tom, are you familiar with the game Words with Friends?
I am very familiar with Words with Friends. I play it, and a lot of my friends do too. And I can identify when you're in the middle of Words with Friends, and the words are flying. You know, it's very difficult to give it up.
Well, you're going to have to explain this. Next time I'm in the studio, I'm going to have to get a Words with Friends lesson with you, because obviously Mr. Baldwin's inability to walk away from his video game got him in some trouble. He tweeted after he was kicked off the plane, he would never fly on American Airlines, where retired Catholic school gym teachers from the 1950s find jobs as flight attendants.
Well, you got to understand, you know, those that have followed Alec, his career and his demeanor and his humor, you know, this doesn't surprise me. And as much as it seems like a guy out of control, I think he was very much in control and probably didn't mind getting kicked off or the publicity that goes with it that he's getting right now.
Well, you know, and who knows? The interesting couple of interesting thoughts about that. One was his agent tweeted the next day. Okay, so you know, perhaps he was wrong to have his cell phone on. But how is it that four passengers in first class tweeted to him while all of this was going on? So other people in first class must have had their telephones on. Also, here's what American Airlines had to say about it. Normally, they would not discuss things like this, but they actually posted this on their Facebook page. Since an extremely vocal customer has publicly identified himself as being removed from American Airlines flight on Tuesday, December the 6th, we have elected to provide the actual facts of the matter, as well as the FAA regulations which American and all airlines must enforce. Cell phones and electronic devices are allowed to be used while the aircraft is at the gate and the door is open for boarding. when the door is closed for departure and the seatbelt light is turned on, all cell phones and electronic devices must be turned off. This passenger declined to turn off his cell phone, and when asked to do so at the appropriate time, the passenger ultimately stood up with the seatbelt light still on for departure, took his phone into the plane's lavatory, slammed the lavatory door so hard the cockpit crew heard it and became alarmed. Even with the cockpit door closed and locked, they immediately contacted the cabin crew to check on the situation. The passenger was extremely rude to the crew, calling them inappropriate names and using offensive language. Given the facts above, the passenger was removed from the flight and denied boarding.
And then the cameras were rolling the whole time. And, you know,
and Mr. Baldwin has since apologized to the passengers on the plane to whom he delayed, but his apology is definitely missing an apology to American Airlines. So apparently he's still not too happy with them. Hey, listen, Tom, speaking of Alec Baldwin gets kicked off the plane, here's another story. Three ladies got kicked off a plane, off of an AirTran plane last week, and they're blaming a bully flight attendant, they said. They were headed for New York City, and these three women, it's interesting to know, did not know each other. They got on a plane in West Palm Beach, and they're headed back to White Plains, New York. And one of the ladies has an item in the overhead, and another passenger asks a flight attendant for some assistance with putting something in the overhead, and he takes it and just throws it up there. Lady says, hey, I got a bag up there that's got some things in it that are breakable. Could you be careful there? So the flight attendant takes another bag and throws it up there in the same way. So the lady gets a little bit upset and a little bit annoyed at the flight attendant, and the flight attendant says something back to her, so lady number two says, gee, sir, that lady didn't say anything rude to you or anything. Why would you talk to her that way? He says, excuse me, ma'am, I'm not talking to you. Sit down and shut up. At that point, a third lady got involved in the conversation. The flight attendant went to the front of the plane, called the West Palm Beach police, and took the three ladies off of the airplane. Fortunately, AirTran is now merging with Southwest. Some Southwest people stepped in, took the ladies to a Southwest plane at another gate, and were able to get them on their way to New York City. But my goodness, I guess, well, you know, Tom, our flight attendants are people, too.
They are, and they have a bad day, and so are passengers, and they have weird days. And, you know, it's interesting, if this people are kicked out of department stores on a daily basis all across the country, never makes the news, but whenever there is that turmoil on a plane and all of that, it becomes headlines. And
well, and I guess the one thing that really is important for people to remember is that no matter if the flight attendant is having a bad day or not, you're talking about federal laws, and if you disobey a flight attendant or you get into with a flight attendant on the plane, apparently in this case it was conceded that the ladies were, you know, that the guy was having a bad day, and perhaps he's been disciplined for that. But if the flight attendant's not having a bad day and you're the one having the bad day, your bad day could get a whole lot worse when you're taken off an airplane by a police department. So I would strongly recommend to you, in those types of situations, you are way better to just bite your tongue and write a letter of complaint, you know, notice a name badge and write a letter of complaint afterwards. But remember, when you're on an airplane, flight attendant tells you to do something, it's just like a law enforcement officer. If you don't obey, you're going to be in trouble.
Now, have you ever, of all the times that you've flown, have you ever seen anybody escorted off the plane for bad behavior?
I have not, but I have seen people escorted out of airports for bad behavior with, you know, like at a counter with a gate agent or arguing with airline staff or something like that and showing inappropriate behavior and have been removed from the airport. So it does happen. All right, moving along. Universal Studios, a little lighter news here. Our friend Arthur Frommer would be so happy about this. Universal Studios is adding a Harry Potter attraction to their theme park in Hollywood. I suspect that this is going to be a real big thing. Hogwarts Castle, which houses the School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, featured in the Harry Potter series, will be the Hollywood Park's centerpiece, as it is in Orlando. Details on the timing of the new park and the expansion have not been released.
Good idea.
I only mentioned Arthur because we know every time we interview Arthur at the New York Times Travel Show every year, he's always got something to say about the Muggles and Harry Potter. He and his grandchildren have obviously found a connection there.
It's a good move. I think the Universal here in California definitely needed an upgrade, and this is a good one.
Oh, No question about it. Here's one other little news here item before we go. A cruise line. Many of you who go to Hawaii know that there are the major islands, Kauai, that folks visit, Kauai, Maui, the big island of Hawaii, Oahu. There are some lesser islands that not as many people go to, places like Lanai, Molokini, which actually it doesn't have any tourism facilities really on it at all, and Molokai. And Molokai, of course, is where the leper colony, Father Damien was, many years ago, and the tourism there is on a very small scale, and there's this little cruise ship, American Safari Cruises, has put together an itinerary visiting these secondary islands, stopping on Molokai, and the folks, it's a 36-passenger ship, remember, so now we're not talking about a big cruise ship, but the folks on that island are so incredibly protective of their Hawaiian heritage and feeling that they really have the only true Hawaii left. They have been protesting the arrival of this cruise ship, and they've caused the cruise line to change their itinerary while they try to work it out with the folks on Molokai. So I guess my only wisdom to you would be is if you're going to be a tourist on Molokai, you might want to not use the cruise ship to get there because it might not be going there. Tom, you mentioned you've had a tourism experience. You've been to Molokai.
I have. Actually, it was quite a few years ago. Back in the 70s, my father-in-law lived on the large island, and he got us we went to visit, and while we were there, we visited Molokai and did the Molokai mule ride down to the leper colony, down a sheer cliff and then you toured the leper colony. Of course, you know, the leper colony isn't what you might expect. It doesn't have actual, you know, residents there any longer, but a lot of tours of the missions and so forth. And at one point in time, the only way to get to that portion of the island where the lepers were was the ships would pull off shore with these poor people who had leprosy and throw them overboard. And if they could make it to the island, then that's where they were abandoned to, if you will. And then, of course, Father Damien came there to help them build the missions and the hospitals and so forth. So it's become a tourist attraction. And that island is very, very different. The airstrip is very small. At that time, there was one Sheraton and that was it. And, so I could see how this would be going on. I suppose you could be concerned if you were taking the cruise ship and they wanted you to jump off and swim to the leper colony.
To the leper colony. For sure. Well, there's one spot on Hawaii that you have been to that I have not. We'll correct that someday. All right. That is the travel news for today. Coming up after the break, we will take you to Las Vegas, and I will give you my impressions of a week spent at a convention in the city that, like New York, never sleeps. You are listening to The Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
If you're looking for a special gift for that traveler on your list this holiday season, well, I recommend Holloway Travel Outfitters. Got John Holloway on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, everybody.
You got some great ideas for some folks, some things that they can pick up in your store?
We do. We got our luggage, our travel clothing, and our travel accessories. Almost the entire store is about on sale here. Great luggage deals up to 65% off. Our travel clothing with brands like Columbia, Woolrich, Royal Robin, Ex Officio are all an additional 25% off. Our travel underwear for the guys is an extra 25% off. And you know, I think it surprises people, Tom, that men really do want travel underwear under the tree this year. It's great stuff. They get a couple pairs. It helps them travel a lot lighter, which is what we're all about. And this underwear, they buy one pair, they always come back and get a few more, and that's all they need to travel with is the Ex Officio travel underwear.
Holloway Travel Outfitters open 7 days a week at 1150 Fulton Avenue. And folks, for that hard-to-buy for person on your list that's a traveler, John's going to have something for you. And if you stop by the store here in the next, I'll tell you, probably better do it in hours because they're going to go quickly. Stop by Holloway Travel Outfitters and tell them you listen to the Travel Guys radio show. And John will give you a free sports leisure vacation tote bag. We got about 25 of them there. First come, first serve. No purchase necessary. Happy holidays, John.
Happy holidays to Travel Guys and all of Sports Leisure customers.
Well, if I really sang well, I would be singing Viva Las Vegas about now. And now, folks, you're listening, by the way, to the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. And as I mentioned a little earlier, Mark is doing his show on the phone from an undisclosed location. And with this next segment may give you an idea as to why. Welcome back, Mark.
Welcome to you, Tom, on a nice Sunday in Sacramento. It's cold where I am, and the only reason I wouldn't tell you exactly where I am is because some of the things that I'm about to say, you know, there's some bad people that might come looking for me or something. I'm hoping. Anyways, as we alluded to earlier in the program, I spent most of the week in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Hotel at the National Tour Association Convention, which is where folks, tour operators like myself, go to meet with hotels and destinations and attractions and restaurants and basically put together the product that we will offer our clients not only next year but in years to come, ways to get new ideas and share things with other folks. Our headquarters was at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, which has its own convention center. In fact, a big enough convention facility that even though we had 1,500 to 2,000 people in our group, there were four or five other convention groups going on. There was a big Michael Jackson thing. There was a cowboy convention. Las Vegas had a huge marathon over last weekend with something like 44,000 runners or something like that who all had to eat and shower at exactly the same time. So I came away from Las Vegas, which I know is a city that a lot of people in Sacramento visit frequently, but I just got to tell you, I came here on business, not on pleasure. And, Tom, this city has changed a lot.
And how's that?
The days of the 99-cent ham and eggs are basically gone out on the strip, and the $3.99 buffet. And, I mean, breakfast at the Mandalay Bay was $20.
Whoa.
For a buffet breakfast, and that's before you add tax and gratuity. So you're basically looking at a $25 breakfast, and I'm not sure that that's exactly what people have experienced here in the past. The other thing is, there is an incredible tendency of all of these hotels on the Strip, because they have had to lower their room rates so dramatically in the recession, they're trying to get it back in every other way. Almost every hotel is adding what's called a resort fee. This particular hotel's resort fee is it's almost $20 a day, added to whatever your room rate is, and that includes your newspaper and your internet. And interesting here at this particular hotel, you can use the cardio equipment in the gym with your resort fee, but if you'd like to use the weight equipment, then you have to pay an extra $15.
Wow.
And this is just an example of the ways we've got, if you have a group that's coming to Las Vegas for a convention, you've got to think about the fact that, gee, well, we got a great rate on the room. Won't that be wonderful for our delegates? Except when they get here, everything that any of your sponsors of events within your convention are going to do, for example, we have people who sponsor sodas for the delegates, so that when you're walking around between appointments, you can pick up something to drink. $3.48 is what the hotel charged our sponsors for a 10-ounce can of soda.
Oh.
So, I guess my point of all of this is that when your group gets here, you're going to find out that the people who are paying for the events and the different parts of your convention and stuff are absolutely getting goosed. I mean, goose is not the word for it. There are lots of shows, there are lots of things to do here, but I will suggest to you that Casino Town is a terrible place to take a convention, because people have way too many distractions, and if you're trying to go and get business done, then it's difficult. There's no question that right now the room rates in Las Vegas are spectacular. Up at City Center, Aria, and some of the other places, the Vedera and some of the other new hotels up there are still, during the week, only charging around $100 a night for a room. Of course, be careful, because that's before any resort fees and taxes and things like that have been added. But you're going to find that they have, because their revenues are off with the rooms, and they're not getting the rates that they were hoping to get with these new hotels, that you're having a situation where they've cut back on staff. So lines at restaurants are a little longer, service is not quite as good, and you're going to find that prices in gift shops and things like that, you know, sodas are $3. A thing of Gatorade the other day was $3.50, the same thing that you pay 99 cents for it at 7-Eleven. It's impossible not to be impressed by the glitter here, but in all the bright lights and stuff, but it's so incredibly overdone. And here's another thing one of my staff pointed out, Tom, is that we're in this big hotel in the middle of the desert, where water is incredibly valuable and natural resources would be incredibly expensive. And there's not a single sign in this hotel room that says, hey, please put your towel, you know, if you want to use it again, hang it over the, you know, what you've seen in many other hotels.
Right, yeah, they don't do that.
Yeah, leave your, you know, if you'd like to use your towel again, or if you don't need your bed sheets changed today, leave this placard on the bed and the maid won't have to do all of that extra work because you don't change your sheets every day at home. There's no sign that says, gee, we're in the middle of the desert, so please remember to turn the water off when you're done. There's no effort here to in any way, shape, or form. I mean, this is going to sound like just a scathing review because that's what it is. I mean, literally, this has become the Sodom and Gomorrah of the United States because you can come here and throw away all societal rules and forget about anything that you were due at home. And you're never quite, one of my staff also said your great quote, I thought, you're never quite through paying. The more you pay, the more you pay.
Wow.
And the prices, unless you go across the street here from Mandalay Bay to the McDonald's restaurant, or the Happy Panda that sits next to it, you're just, the restaurants inside the hotel are just completely outrageous. Happy hour now here is $5 for a Bloody Mary is considered happy hour.
See, it sounds to me like you're almost doing a review of a cruise ship, Mark.
Well, gosh, you know, I never thought about that, but it is kind of the same thing. I guess my point here is twofold, Tom. One is Las Vegas, at least on the Strip, is not as cheap as it used to be or anywhere close. If you want to go to the old Las Vegas and have a good time and not spend a tremendous amount of money, there are lots of fun casinos in what's called Glitter Gulch in downtown Las Vegas or other casinos that are off the Strip that won't be quite as... The other thing here is that in Mandalay Bay, you're going to have a hard time finding a blackjack table or... any table games at all with a minimum under $15-$20 a play on a weekend.
Now, do you pretty much, I think you've made it clear, and I think it's very understandable that this is all going on because of the economy. First of all, you mentioned that the room rates are down because of overbuilding. Number two, gambling is down. People aren't gambling as much, so as a result, they need to find other places to get the money. And do you think on the long term, because, you know, I think it was just a couple of years ago when we had Mr. Frommer on, we were talking about how the Las Vegas, he said, was the best vacation bargain.
And you know what? If you're only looking at the room rate and you don't gamble and you're willing to be conservative in your, you know, if parking is generally free in Las Vegas at casinos, so there's one thing that perhaps is a little bit of an offset. But if you're gonna spend any money within any of these huge palatial buildings that have been built here, or in anything nearby where the vendor pays rent to that landlord, you're going to pay a huge premium for it.
Well, you can't go to Vegas and spend 4 days in your room and then leave.
Well, and you know what, Tom? Right up the road in Lake Tahoe and Reno, there are some wonderful hotel values at really nice properties. They're not palaces like they are here, but and guess what? The dice roll down the table the same, the wheels spin the same, and the cards are dealt the same. So I might just suggest to folks that we have a wonderful alternative that is a lot closer to us, a lot prettier, and the people are a heck of a lot friendlier.
I was thinking about going to Vegas on the 29th of December to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra because I missed their show here in town. I'm definitely going to just make it a one-day trip.
Bring my own Gatorade. Don't put it in your carry-on luggage or TSA will take it away from you.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
Yes, isn't that kind of weird that people might actually consider bringing in their, you know, bring your own food supplies to Las Vegas and save big bucks.
Yeah, that'd be a better reason to drive.
There you go. All right, Tom, after the news, we've got Ed Perkins, who is talking about that whole chip issue with the credit cards, and then we're going to take people up to Ashland and tell them about the Chocolate Festival up there, which is a something that Sports Leisure Vacations has been doing for a couple of years, and folks have always asked us about things that are close to home that might not be too expensive that would be a lot of fun, and I think the Ashland Chocolate Festival is something they will like.
It's all coming up right here on the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. If you're looking for a special gift for that traveler on your list this holiday season, well, I recommend Holloway Travel Outfitters. Got John Holloway on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, everybody.
You got some great ideas for some folks, some things that they can pick up in your store?
We do. We got our luggage, our travel clothing, and our travel accessories. Almost the entire store is about on sale here. Great luggage deals up to 65% off. Our travel clothing with brands like Columbia, Woolrich, Royal Robbins, Ex Officio are all an additional 25% off. Our travel underwear for the guys is an extra 25% off. And you know, I think it surprises people, Tom, that men really do want travel underwear under the tree this year. It's great stuff. They get a couple pairs. It helps them travel a lot lighter, which is what we're all about. And this underwear, they buy one pair, they always come back and get a few more, and that's all they need to travel with is the Ex Officio travel underwear.
Holloway Travel Outfitters open 7 days a week at 1150 Fulton Avenue. And folks, for that hard to buy for person on your list that's a traveler, John's going to have something for you. And if you stop by the store here in the next, I'll tell you, probably better do it in hours because they're going to go quickly. Stop by Holloway Travel Outfitters and tell them you listen to the Travel Guys radio show. And John will give you a free Sports Leisure Vacation tote bag. We got about 25 of them there. First come, first serve. No purchase necessary. Happy holidays, John.
Happy holidays to Travel Guys and all of Sports Leisure customers.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Kaufman here, along with Tom Romano, famous air personality from 93.1. God, I hope I got that right.
You did, 93.1, and congratulations. You are now a famous FM personality as well.
We are broadcasting on both AM and FM for the first time this week.
At 92.5, sister station to KFBK since, I don't know, the early 80s.
Yeah, Paul and Phil were found a home there for a while.
And now it's Tom and Mark and who else?
And
today?
Who else? Ed Perkins is joining us. Ed is joins us periodically here to talk about things that affect consumers, things that affect travelers, and things that will help you be a smarter traveler. And one of the stories that we have covered off and on here for the last year and a half is the fact that credit cards, overseas credit cards, they've developed a new system where there is a chip in the card and your purchases are registered a little bit differently than they are in the United States, where they are swiped through a credit card machine, if you're familiar with that whole process. And that has created some dilemmas and some situations where folks traveling overseas might or might not be able to use their cards. And Ed is with us today because he has written a wonderful story. Finally, we have a credit card company that has come online. Ed, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Always nice to be with you.
Thank you very much. Now, tell us about this mini breakthrough, if we will, about a credit card company that has decided to make a card that can be used on both sides of the ocean.
Sure. And as you summed up so well in your intro, much of the rest of the world has gone to this what they call chip and pin system for security verification, as opposed to the magnetic stripe and then you sign a chit system, which we use here in the U.S. Now, what's happened here is that travelers who have U.S. credit cards have often found overseas that there are some situations over there where the only way you can buy something, a ticket or pay a toll or buy gasoline from an automatic machine or something like that, is to use a credit card. And when the machines over there no longer accept your American credit card, you can be in a real pickle. So U.S. American travelers have been agitating for some time now to please give us a credit card we can use either place. And finally, Chase Bank has done that. But it's done, J.P. Morgan Chase, but it's done that only so far with the credit card they issue in cooperation with British Airways. Now, that's an obvious no-brainer for them because presumably a lot of their British Airways, people who have a British Airways card, are interested in traveling to Europe. Now, that you would think that would be something that it wouldn't take them too long to figure out. So they finally did. And right now the new cards are coming in with both systems on them, so you can use them either place. And if you have an older one, if you already have one, all you have to do is call the customer service number, and they'll replace it for you with a new one.
Now, Ed, we should tell our listeners that this is a system that is currently in use overseas. Is there any reason to believe that this chip system is the technology of the future? That seems to be the direction this is all heading.
That's an interesting question. And by the way, it's not just overseas, technically. They're using it in Canada, too.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be a long time before the U.S. does a complete switchover, because as the banks point out, their excuse for not issuing cards earlier is, well, it would cost us way too much to convert. We have all these gazillions of card readers and all that stuff out in the U.S. marketplace now, and we simply can't replace it. Well, the answer, of course, is you don't have to replace it. All you have to do is have a card that works both places. Now, mm-hmm. long term, I think some American banks feel that the chip and PIN is also a step along the way, and that there's going to be a third generation system coming that may involve RFID and remote contact and a whole bunch of other technologies that are in the wind right now. And they may, and the U.S. banks, their policy may very well be to skip chip and PIN generation.
But I think that's what they're hoping for, Ed, that they can just jump right past this.
Yeah. But in the meantime, people with American credit cards need to use them overseas. And, I mean, it just seems to me just ridiculous that other banks that issue airline co-branded cards haven't done this. Now, I, for example, have a United card, which is Chase. Now, obviously, as a United customer, I'm more interested than average in flying around the world. So I can't believe that they haven't given the same deal to United customers.
Which leads me to my next question is, have you heard any rumblings of, we see now one credit card, Chase, but not, as you just mentioned, not even with all of their cards, just with one. Is there any reason to believe that they're going to fall in line, or do you think they're going to wait for this, for whatever the next generation technology is? I mean, I say that because we've got people who frequently, this is a question I probably get more than any other from this program, of people who have heard us talk about this and are afraid their credit card is not going to work when they go overseas.
Their credit card overseas will work if they're dealing with a merchant in a real face-to-face situation. That still works and probably will indefinitely. It's the case where you absolutely need a card and there's no other way to buy something than from an automated dispenser of some kind. That's where the real crunch comes. Now, as far as other banks are concerned, Wells Fargo and somebody else whose name escapes me at the moment, another big bank, I think B of A, have issued a very small number of these chip and PIN credit cards to customers they select. And what it seems to me is that this dam is about to burst, that I think that within the next 6 months we will see people with being offered, if they have United cards or American cards or whatever, the option to do this. I think pretty much the genie's coming out of the bottle, and it's about time.
Ed, let me ask you quickly here before we let you go. One thing we discussed with Christopher Elliott, our other consumer reporter who checks with us from time to time, is hotel ratings. Now some of the hotels are putting their own ratings on their own sites, and it's making me a little nervous because I have a little trouble with the current ratings because I feel like, you know, somebody can go in and beat the crap out of a hotel and maybe give an illusion that that is, you know, what happens all the time. If hotels are to be trusted, can we trust hotels to put their own ratings on their own websites? Do you think that they might be honest with us, or is that just a total scam?
They will be honest with you if the rating is a government-issued rating. They have to. But other than that, no, they can do anything they want.
So you would also be look with a little bit of suspicion at a website that rated hotels that was run by the hotel company itself.
I very much would, and it seems to me that your safety is in numbers. When you go onto some place like TripAdvisor, and the hotel may have 500 reviews, you sort of lop off the top 10% and the bottom 10%.
I agree with you.
And say, well, you know, where is the vast middle here?
And, you know, I think on TripAdvisor, one of the things that I really look for is if most hotels are somewhere in the middle, and even a hotel that's rated four diamonds or is going to, or four of their little bullets is going to have complaints from time to time. What I look for is did someone from the hotel respond at least when someone had a complaint, whether it was justified or not? Did somebody take the time to go on there and try to explain their point of view? And if that happens, why, then I feel like that the hotel is obviously doing their best to try to mitigate customer issues and things of that. But when I see a website where people have put down several complaints and no one has responded, that starts to make me suspicious.
Well, yeah, I agree with that 100%. But as you look through those reviews, that's the minority. The majority of them are still just sitting there with no response.
Well, you know what I thought you were going to say, Ed? They'll put it up if it's positive. You know, in other words, they'll post it on their own website if the critique is positive.
Oh,
you know,
well, yeah, sure.
I mean, skip the
The first time I go on to the Starwood website and I look up a hotel and I see eight reviews and two of them absolutely rake the hotel over the coals and they're right there, then I'm going to put a lot more value in that hotel's websites. And again, I'm looking for what was the management's response. It's one thing to complain and people can find anything to complain about. It's another thing if the management comes back and says, well, you know, we're this and that. Like I was reading one the other day, guy said, you know, there were ants everywhere and the general manager came back and said, we're in a place where we have a lot of insects and it's just a reality of where we are. And if you don't like insects, why then, you know, you kind of need to do your homework. Anyways, Ed, thank you so much for your time, buddy. We appreciate it.
Always good talking to
Behave
you.
Behave yourself up there in Ashland, Oregon. Later on in the program, we have a lady to talk about the Ashland Chocolate Festival that's coming up in March.
Oh, boy.
So you'll want to listen to the podcast and find out, because it's right in your city. You can just go down and gorge yourself on chocolate at the Ashland Springs Hotel.
Oh, I don't have to wait till May for that.
Ed, you and your wife have a wonderful Christmas, okay?
Thank you much.
Thank you very much. Ed Perkins, our consumer reporter on the line.
And we are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
You know what? When you think of Oregon, Mark, a lot of times we think of the
trees.
Shakespeare Festival.
Trees. Shakespeare.
Yes.
Water.
Exactly. One of the few things we might think of is chocolate. We are the Travel Guys in Entertainment here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And Mark, you make a trip occasionally to Oregon having something to do with chocolate. Let's talk about it.
We started last year, Tom, Sports Leisure Vacations did, attending the Chocolate Festival at the Ashland Springs Hotel in Ashland. It's held in March. And our folks had such a good time that we are planning on going back this year, a little 3-day, 2-night trip up, or actually I think it's 4 days and 3 nights up to Ashland, and to partake in the event. Who doesn't like chocolate, especially after a long, cold winter? And so I thought, because our folks have asked us to tell them about things that are reason. This is not right in our backyard, but Ashland
is a little over
a half a day a drive away. So you could certainly do your own little staycation and head up to Ashland in early March. And joining us on the line from the Ashland Springs Hotel is Carolina. Hi, Carolina.
Hello, guys.
And we talked off the air. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name, but will you please say it for us?
My name is Carolina Wyszyńska.
And thank you, Carolina. Now everyone listening understands why I didn't try to pronounce it. It's Polish. Yes. And Carolina and I have known each other for several years because Sports Leisure Vacations goes to Ashland often. And Carolina, this chocolate festival, is this kind of your little baby?
Yes, it is my baby. This is going to be the eighth time we're putting Oregon Chocolate Festival together. I never had the slightest idea that it's going to become such a big annual destination event.
Now, did this start out of your personal love for chocolate?
Honestly, more love for Oregon artisan produce and products that are created here. I was just shocked how many chocolatiers all over the state of Oregon create amazing stuff, and they are not really appreciated at one place. And I do like chocolate, and what they create here is just beyond what you can see in stores. And so I was like, well, how about we put all these guys together, it will be a great opportunity for them to get to know each other and learn from each other. And for everyone, us who do not create anything in chocolate, to enjoy and eat and overindulge for a 2-3-day weekend.
Now, this event, Carolina, has a wide variety of activities. There's a chocolate brunch. Mm-hmm. There's a chocolatier's dinner, if I'm correct. Correct me. There's a kind of a trade show type format where folks can go around and purchase different types of chocolate and different chocolate related products from vendors.
Yes, we've grown it over the years, and it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday event. On Friday, we start in the evening with the chocolate makers dinner, and that's a great exploration of chocolate use in a sweet and savory fashion. Our executive chef prepares amazing four-course dinner. Other people go to the art gallery walk, so local art galleries have a chocolate theme, and it's a fantastic exploration of downtown Ashland and our galleries. On Saturday and Sunday, like you mentioned, we have this kind of trade show, over 40 chocolatiers, wineries. So every table you go to, every booth, you can taste all the different creations, and then you can also purchase.
Tom, have you spent any time in Ashland, Oregon at all?
I have.
And then you know the downtown in Ashland is just one of the most charming, picturesque places.
Perfect place for something like this. I'm sitting here
picturing from the hotel the walk down the street as Carolina is talking about the galleries and stuff, and I'm just thinking what a lovely day that would be if they all had, you know, chocolate samples and things like that as you walk down the street. The pictures folks brought back last year from some of the events were wonderful. Now, I know there is, obviously, there's a charge for the meal events.
Yes.
And those tickets need to be purchased ahead of time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, for the dinner on Friday night, there is a charge. I am not sure yet about the exact amount. I know that tickets to this festival, so tasting, purchasing, all the seminars happening at the hotel, that's $20 a day. They are available, and we've been already promoting and seeing a huge above before Christmas, the perfect gift. So many people are.
Oh, what a wonderful idea of a way to give someone a Christmas gift.
Yeah,
give them admission to the chocolate festival.
Oh, yeah. And if you have kids, they have a special, the science of chocolates, where they talk about making chocolate. And this is the one that really appeals to me if you really want to indulge yourself, is the chocolate facial martini spa party.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of hours of cocktails and pampering and chocolate.
Oh, yes. So
yeah.
There is something for adults and for kids. We try to make everyone happy. So parents coming with children, they go to the Science Museum right here in Ashland, and there's really hands-on experience. Children learn bean-to-bar process, and they play with chocolate. It's fun afternoon activity.
And we should tell folks who are thinking about going up there that the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, while the outdoor plays are certainly not going on in March, that there are shows that the festival has started, and it is possible to combine a visit to the Chocolate Festival with an opportunity to see a Shakespearean or another a non-Shakespearean play.
Oh, yes. So we've been partnering with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival for years, and they offer us 50% off that weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, March 2nd through 4th, and give us 50% off on any productions that weekend. So it's a great opportunity for all the people who, you know, want to save some money to travel to Ashland and to enjoy the Chocolate Festival, go to Shakespeare, see a non-Shakespeare show or a Shakespeare traditional play, and have a great time and not really break the bank. And with Sports Leisure Vacation, if you don't want to drive, you just go with Sports Leisure Vacation on a bus and have fun with the group. They had a blast in this year in March, so hopefully everyone will enjoy 2012 as well.
And you still have a few seats left, Mark?
Thank you both for the cheap, blatant plugs.
Yes.
I appreciate that very much. Yes, our trip is selling very well and filling very quickly. There are, I think, 10 of the 40 seats that are not spoken for yet.
And do you have a mini itinerary that you could share with us for the Sports Leisure Travel
vacation? Well, we go up on our Super Coach, which is our special motor coach that has extra leg room and a galley on board. And, of course, you have a tour director and stuff. So it's a little more like flying than it is about riding a bus.
Boy.
And we get into Ashland. We stop in Reading for lunch, get into Ashland in the afternoon, partake in all of the activities that Carolina has been talking about, and then head back home, make an overnight stay in Reading, catch a little entertainment there. And so it's a four-day, three-night package. And you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll have the link for Carolina's, for the Chocolate Festival. If you're just interested in going on your own, we'll have a link to the tour on the Sports Leisure Vacations website if you're interested in seeing what we have to offer. Carolina, I thank you so much. I think that your little baby here is turning into a child and is starting to grow up. Your Chocolate Festival is becoming known throughout the Pacific Northwest.
It is amazing, and it makes me realize the power of wonderful products. If people recognize that something is done right and they can experience in one place some wonderful Oregon creations, they'll come back year after year. And we've seen same faces bringing their children, their friends, their husbands, and bigger groups all the time coming. So this is a wonderful, charming, small location, because Ashland is just 20,000 people, that opens their town to everyone who comes that weekend, and everything from stores, restaurants, everyone has some kind of chocolate theme. It's just fun for a weekend to get away like that.
Well, what a yummy surprise from Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Carolina, for your time, and we will check back in with you a couple weeks maybe before the festival and get another update.
Thank you, gentlemen. I look forward to talking with you again, and happy holidays to everyone.
All right. Thank you, Carolina.
Thank you.
And we are the Travel Guys in Entertainment. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next week from 2 to 3, as we always say. An hour a week is all we ask. Thanks for joining us here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Merry Christmas. See you next week.